I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
I'm going to give the audience what I think they want.
They want chase scenes and car crashes.
They want the cops to bend the rules to get the job done. They want the boy to get the girl. They want the good guy to win. They want the bad guy to die, hopefully in the biggest explosion the budget will allow. But most importantly, Senator, they want to walk into a theater and for 90 minutes forget the fucking mess that you have left of this nation.
Go get your bubblegum.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to the All Out of Bubblegum podcast. I am Marty, and with me today are Brandon.
Hello.
And Jaws Unleashed is back. Hello.
Hello there.
Oh, it's good to have you back, Jaws. We're going to dive into some Bollywood today, right?
Yeah. Straight to India.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've done a Bollywood movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Today, I suggested you that we should have maybe two movies from Bollywood. They're both Bollywood movie, indie movies. From the region of Bombay, the studios are there. They call it Bollywood, but there's multiple studios, like it's like Hollywood. There's just so many studios, but they call it Hollywood Studios by generalization.
Yeah.
So the first movie we're gonna talk about is I tell you the two movies we're gonna talk about. The first one is Animal. It's T-series movies from the studio T-series. And it follows, the plot is about some dude who's a billionaire and do some stuff, shady stuff, and just want to avenge his father who's been attempted. They haven't had an assassination attempt on his father, so he's gonna fuck shit up, and he's kind of a gray bad guy. Like, he's an asshole, of course.
Yeah.
Big fucking asshole.
Yeah.
At the point of the movie, that's why I think it was a bit successful. And the second movie is Skill. Straightforward action revenge movie set in a fixed location. Remind me a bit of The Red Redemption, but it's set in a train, like Die Hard hostage situation with a lot of gory violence. It's a short movie by Indian standards, like 150. So, yeah, short movie. Everything below 2 hours is a short movie.
Yeah, an Animal is fucking long.
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost 3.5 hours.
Yeah, and neither of these is really what I imagined Bollywood movies to be like.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yes, they're kind of underground stuff, like more artsy in their genre for India. Like Kill is a straightforward action movie with little to no dancing at all. Short movie, like it's artsy in India to do that kind of stuff. Of course, there's more authoristic stuff. An Animal is like not really a masala, more like crime drama thriller. I think there's no dance. There's some singing parts, like, but no dance. Apart from a scene in nightclub, just moonwalking around the main character. You think he's a good guy when he's doing that, but you end up understanding that he's not. And of course, it's both movie made a little buzz in India. Animal was a box office success, which was unusual for a movie that long and which has little to no romance. Of course, there's romance. Kind of cheesy romance in there, but a bit too long scene as well. And of course, it was a big success at the box office because I think it's kind of appeal to the male audience. The male was just see this toxic character just being the hero of the movie and just wrecking things up and being fucking asshole for no good damn reason towards his own family, his employees, and everything, you know, even his own children. So, and Kill did the... Yeah, of course. Can you go ahead?
I was going to say, I'm glad you brought up that the main character is toxic asshole. Because an Animal, he is! I mean, he is one of the biggest douchebag characters I've ever seen in a movie. And,
yeah.
Yeah, it hurt the film for me. Because I understand that, like, you know, it exposes him. But it just made it kind of unlikable to me that he was just such an asshole in every single moment of the movie. That just kind of hurt the experience for me.
Yeah, I think that was the point of the movie. It's to root for the bad guy.
Yeah.
Kind of like, we're going to talk about the influences afterwards when we dive into the movie. And Kill made a little buzz because it was distributed by Lionsgate. It was distributed internationally. It was an indie independent film from India. Typically, it's more like the big studios movies that get distributed internationally. But Kill got released in North America, I think. Maybe in Europe, I'm not sure, in theaters. And that's it for Kill. It made a little buzz. People reacted to the trailer, the gory trailer, showing almost every kill. Not every kill, but yeah, that's the point. Straightforward action movie from India, like The Red from India.
Didn't Kill get like a Criterion Collection release in the United States or something like that? Or am I off base here?
Yep. Checked about that. Kill got a Blu-ray release, 4K UHD release. I don't know, Criterion, you said?
Yeah.
While Animal didn't get released on video yet. It only has a Netflix release. They're doing that in India with big blockbusters. They don't release it to physical soon. So they can't pirate stuff, but they end up pirating the stuff anyway by grabbing the streaming services and all that stuff. And so the big movies from India, like RRR, the one who won an Academy Award for its song, it didn't get released until 1 year ago in physical, even though it came out in 2022.
But that wasn't a Hindi movie, right?
No, that was a Telugu movie from Tollywood.
Yeah, I always get those mixed up because there's just so much going on in India. They have so many languages and cultures that I can't keep up with it as a non-Indian.
Yeah, I can't even keep up with it. They make so many movies, so many movies. So long movies as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Animal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's definitely a movie.
Yeah. It's not my favorite.
It makes Bohachi Bushido seem like family fun.
Okay. That far?
Almost.
Okay. So I expected a worse movie for Bushido. I haven't seen it yet. So what did you think of Animal, both of you?
Oof.
Well, to me, it felt like if Ayn Rand directed an action movie / soap opera that starred a guy who looked like Simon Helberg. It was not really the kind of experience I was looking for in a movie. I like the out-of-control action. I'll give it that. The action is just so insane. It's so over the top with hundreds of people dying left and right that those scenes engaged me. But when it wasn't scenes of people being killed, I just thought the main character was too much of an asshole for it to be likable. This guy is only looking out for himself. He's basically like, I think Donald Trump sees him as this kind of figure. Even though Donald Trump is this like morbidly obese, like golf player, you know, he sees himself as this kind of like badass, like man who's like taking on everybody and protecting those that love him and has like his followers and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know.
It's daddy issues.
Yes, yeah, daddy issues.
Of course, that's the main point of the movie. But yeah, I agree with you with the soap opera aspects, like over a long episode of Dallas with some John Wick style shooting in the middle of the movie. Of course, the political aspect, of course, the Nazi symbolism in the movie, I think you saw it.
Yeah.
I think it's obvious stuff. Even the Christian priest in the movie, we don't see him tell her, but we heard that he said that. Main character, his name is
Vijay?
Vijay is like a fucking Nazi or something. He doesn't want to confess him. But yeah. Of course, the political aspect is there. Like in India, the swastika has another symbolism, but they knew it was going to reach an international audience. And the main character gave his speech in the factory in front of his worker, like almost doing a Nazi salute.
Yeah.
Saying he's going to slit someone's throat in front of national television, and all his workers cheered him up. Yeah. Kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's kind of a chilling moment because the main character, Vijay, he's the son of like a wealthy industrialist. And when his industrialist father is almost killed, he swears revenge. And his factory, the factory is like swastika steel and it has like a swastika as like its symbol. And it was founded in the 1950s after World War II, apparently. So they probably should have known better, but maybe they didn't. And it's a chilling moment. And I'm not sure if the film is condoning it or condemning it, but it's something else.
Yeah, of course. About the moral of the film, there's no really moral. I think it's more like they show you stuff and you have to make your own morals out of it. There's no lesson given. It's that type of movie. So it's a bit strange from an Indian movie and some movies, you know, they just show choice stuff and you just have to make your own moral. That's the type of movie I like, when they don't teach you what to think, just giving you these characters and what they're doing and letting you judge yourself. Like The Godfather, for example, they don't judge characters.
It doesn't have an explicit message, but, you know, it does have stuff happening. Like we said, the main character is a massive asshole to everybody around him, but especially his wife. And yet I don't think the movie condones him for it. Condemns. So, like, it is messaging, basically, right? Yeah. You can say, oh, no, we're not telling people to hit their wives, but we're also saying that it's bad. So,
I agree. The main thing you could take out from the moral of the story is that misogyny is good. That's the only moral lesson they give you. That, of course, that's bad. Very bad. So,
The main character is deeply misogynistic.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And it's working for him. That's the lesson.
Yeah.
They give to the audience and the Indian male audience. You know, that's why I think they like this movie. And, you know, maybe female audience like this movie as well. I don't know. Maybe, you know, with the romance scene, the plane, and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Silly, cheesy stuff.
You mean the romance scene where he hits her?
Well, there's actually two romantic scenes. They're getting their wedding in the mountains and having a song, typical Bollywood stuff, and they're having sex on a plane, which was a bit controversial in India as well for showing that in a blockbuster. They do that in indie film, but in blockbusters they don't typically have sex scenes like that.
Oh, they're more prudish than Americans.
I remember you saying on the Shah Rukh Khan episode that, like, it's even uncommon for characters to kiss in Bollywood movies.
Yeah, they like kiss. No French kissing. Like kiss sometimes. In indie movies, it's more accepted, you know. Movies like that people don't see in theaters, or just moviegoers, or hardcore moviegoers are going to. But everybody in India is a hardcore moviegoer. That's why they make movies so long, so many of them. And it's entertaining the big audience they have, with almost 2 billion people and foreigners all around the world. So it's more than 2 billion.
Yes, they gotta have something for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Except for people who want likable characters.
Yeah,
that's kind of the big downfall of this film. The main character, he's basically just like Ayn Rand's like ideal man, who just kind of like looks out for himself. Which, I mean, it's okay to be an individualist. I mean, it's okay to do that. But this guy takes it to a whole nother level of being like just like the most self-centered prick imaginable. But he gets some good action scenes, so there's that.
Yeah. I think one of the main influences, I'm going to talk about maybe three influences that made this movie. The first one is The Godfather, with the story of the father, assassination attempt. And the second one is John Wick, and this type of action movie with the big action scene, even the big machine gun scene that's given in any Indian action movie nowadays because of Kaiti. A movie Rotunda loves, with the big machine gun action scene. They always have this nowadays in Indian movies. And the third influence, like you said, is I think Scarface. The guy is literally Tony Montana, Indian Tony Montana, toxic Tony Montana, toxic Indian Tony Montana. So I kind of liked the mix between these three movies, genre. I think it was working well. I'm going to be honest with you. My initial viewing of the movie, I was a bit underwhelmed. I thought, well, it's another Bollywood movie that's overlong and have too many romances. At least the character is a bit controversial, so that's nice. But I gave it 5 out of 10, 2.5 star out of 5.
Yeah.
But when I rewatched some reaction videos, some trailers, I did the kill count video for the movie, I ended up thinking about the movie back and thinking, yeah, that was cool. That was a nice scene. Yeah, the romance is a bit too long, but it's part of the story. It's like compensating for the whole misogynistic thing, you know. And I ended up rewriting and gave it a 6. I don't know if it's a 6 or a 7. And that's it for me. That's a pretty good movie, I'd say. A bit overlong with some fluff, too much fluff. But I think every scene works. Like, if you watch it like a soap opera, 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, it works fine. Like I said, an overlong episode of Dallas with more murders and carnage set in India.
Yeah. Maybe I should have broken it down into like half hour blocks. Maybe that would have made it slightly more tolerable, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they put intermissions in India still for movies that long. So you have 15 minutes break to go to the toilet, just eat something, go outside, smoke a cigarette, do anything. You know. They still do that in India, but they don't do it. They still do it in India because the movies are long. And this one is unexpectedly long for an Indian blockbuster because nowadays they shorten the film like 2 hour 30, 2 hour 45. There's no 3 hour movies that get released that are blockbusters. Very rare. So I think it was a nod to the old school Indian movies as well, where it was 3 hour 30 every time for every movie, like Sholay that Rutodal also loves and I love as well.
Me too.
It's 3 hour 45. Oh, you watch it.
Yeah, Sholay is great.
Maybe do an episode on that someday.
Yeah.
So on the action scenes in Animal, these are probably the just about the only bright spot for me, but because they're actually kind of choreographed pretty well, and they have this ridiculously over the top chain gun motorcycle killing machine. I don't know what it is, but it like has like 20 miniguns on it and has like infinite ammunition. They drive it out through like inside of a building and he's mowing down like hundreds of people. They're flying through the air. The bullets are lighting curtains on fire. And that was for me the highlight. I don't mind the action scenes here. They're pretty good.
Yeah, of course. There's a bit, you know, silly Bollywood stuff with the action because it's a fairly realistic movie. And it goes into, like, Deadpool, Marvel territory with excessive violence and excessive machine guns firing and that stuff. And then, like, he killed almost 400 people in that scene alone. I counted them. Yeah. It was a tough job.
Yeah, I believe it.
Like, 200 plus, almost 400. And I like the fact that as well, like they acknowledge that this was a brutal scene because his wife tells him that you killed more than 100 people. Are you crazy? You're not a good guy. You're a murderer.
Yeah, he kills like 5 million people and she's understandably kind of disturbed by that. But before that, there's a pretty good axe fight with everybody like running around and they're chopping people up. He chops a guy's arm off at one point, blood splattering all over the place. The bad guy's wearing like masks, I think, bear masks maybe. I can't remember what they were wearing exactly, but that was an interesting fight.
Disco ball masks.
Disco ball masks.
Almost like one of my movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of actually. I was thinking like this reminds me of something Jaws would make at times, like in terms of the action, like the masks motif and the hand-to-hand combat and the blood splattering all over the place.
And, of course, about this scene, very violent scene, I think that's what earned it its adult rating, with the sex scene and maybe the throat slitting at the end, which is very gory. About the ratings, this one is rated for adult. It's equivalent to R. They have to really push to get the R. It's like, it would be R in the United States. But the PG-13, like the 12 and older rating, is a bit pushing harder than the PG-13 in the US. You can see like Pathaan and Jawan were PG-13s, and they're way more violent than PG-13 movies that can release in the United States. But no nudity for this stuff, you know. You can see the main character naked at some point, but it's all blurred and he's wearing like something. And then he's just like, Dr. No, it's just one girl.
Yeah.
I think so. They wouldn't film him nude. I don't think so.
I did feel like he was, even though he was like out of focus, he was wearing a fake massive penis.
I don't know. I didn't pay too much attention to that.
I was looking. I was like, what's going on here? Anyway.
Cleaning my glasses. Like, why can't I
Yeah.
I think you're not the only one of the audience who did that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I like how much he talks about like his like colostomy bag and stuff like this in this film. He really has this weird fixation with certain things, whether it be like body hair or like his colostomy bag or whatever it is. He's like always talking about like, you don't know how much stuff I've shoved up my penis in my bunghole, lady. You don't understand. Which I thought was kind of funny. But yeah, I don't know if it was supposed to be funny, but it was.
The glorification of manscaping.
Yes. Yes. There's these weird fixations in this movie, like about whether it be guns or body hair or protecting your honor or like having stuff shoved up your penis hole. It's just so ridiculous. Weird fixations.
Yeah, it's over the top. That's why I like this. Always over the top, but it's what I like about this is like it's kind of realistic, like a soap opera, like not a soap opera from India, which is fucking insane. I don't know, but it was more like I say, like a US type soap opera, very serious with some drama, heavy drama, family stuff, company billionaire stuff, friends and all that stuff. When you go back to his village to get some bodyguards, and of course the big action scene in the middle. So that's it for me. That's why I like this one. So why did you like this one? Like, why did you give it such a low rating?
Well, like the movie is provocative and maybe intentionally so, but like it isn't commenting on what it is provoking. Like Taxi Driver was a provocative movie, but you don't walk away from Taxi Driver thinking, huh, that Robert De Niro character, Travis Bickle, he was a great guy. You walk away thinking...
Some audiences do.
Yeah, that was definitely not the intention of the filmmakers, though. Same with, like, Scarface, which I'll give you, is massively misunderstood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people hang posters of Tony Montana on their wall, even though if you watch the movie, he's clearly the bad guy.
Yeah, great guy, I'd say. He's nicer than VJ. I'd rather have Tony Montana on my side than VJ, like.
Yeah, but like this movie doesn't. This movie is just like, yeah, here he is, and he's kind of cool. Look at him do all this cool shit. And then here he is hitting his wife. Isn't he cool? Like,
I don't think he hit her once. I think it's the wife hit him more.
Yeah, but
I don't remember. Much violence.
There is the scene with the bra strap, though, where she's just like, stop, please stop. And he just keeps going. And you're like, dude, stop. For fuck's sake. Why are we watching 3.5 hours of this guy?
Yeah.
Like, even he starts the movie just walking into his father's party, just telling his sisters that he married the wrong guy and that they should only listen to him.
But he was right in the end.
that's the problem. The movie is saying, oh yeah, he was right when he was a misogynist, when he told his sisters that they shouldn't have opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but of course it's balancing stuff, and this type of movie, you know, India is a more traditionalistic society with different values, whereas men and women have their differences that are not as simple as the rest of the world would think. Because there's also like third castes, like in Indian religion with transgender people and all that stuff, mixed with Muslim who are more rigoristic about men and women stuff and other religions as well. And of course the people who have walked away from religion. And yeah, it's kind of a blurred line between stuff and stuff. It can get a bit messy, but in big families, like traditional values have more importance. That's why I think they succeed. As a business, I mean. And of course you have empowered women as well in businesses nowadays, but I think this movie is a bit old school. Like it could have come out more like in the 90s. It's not really India from now. It's not precise when it happens, but it feels more like old school India, I think, rather than true modern India. But I don't frequent billionaires Indians, so I don't know how they're working their way out of society.
Yeah.
Maybe just like that, I don't know.
I also didn't really like the action scene much. It was pretty much all just CGI. A bunch of faceless goons show up for some reason in a hotel, and the whole plot is just weird.
Yeah, it's kind of silly. They sent 300 guys to just kill someone and they all get fucking killed by one guy.
But the plot is basically he goes out for revenge for something that failed, for a failed assassination attempt. Like, what? She's like, oh, there's a conspiracy here. Better kill everyone.
Yeah, and it's kind of reverse order. Like we start with flashbacks and coming back and going forward, flashbacks and...
Going back, the end, yeah, it's flashing back to when he brought a gun to school.
Yeah.
And fired it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a nice scene because it showed how he cared about his family at least.
Well, he cares about controlling his sisters. He doesn't actually care about them.
In this scene, he's a child. I think he's care more when this scene happened. Of course, when it's the Birthday of the Dad, it's another level of control. But when he's a child, I think he's just trying to just show him that he should not mess around with his family. As a child, you know, you bring the gun, you know, shooting stuff, you know, controversial stuff. But in India, it's not common because they don't have access to weapon as well. But I think he's a nice guy in this one because he's just a child, you know.
Okay. And he becomes an asshole nice. Later.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, his dad sent him to America and all that stuff to just send him abroad. And that's where he becomes an asshole, when he goes to America. See what happened there.
Yeah, you could say that's the movie about somebody being radicalized by Donald Trump's America.
That never happens. But yeah, that's definitely something you could put in the commentary, you know. It's kind of like about people, like, American values coming to India, you know. India, I'm going to assume, I've never been there, it's a pretty collectivist culture, if I'm not mistaken. And they kind of injected, like, this hyper-individualistic, Randian, American outlook on life that Vijay represents. So maybe there is something there.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a deeper movie. If you, I like I said, my initial writing was a bit low. I was a bit disappointed because I expected something more artsy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bit artsy, but more like I said, a TV series, soap opera, nice, with insane action scenes in the middle that come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just to entertain the bloodthirsty audience that we are. And make it an action film so we can talk about this podcast.
Yeah.
That's it for me for Anima.
Okay. What did you guys think of, because this movie starts with a warning or a notice, however you want to call it, that this movie does not condone smoking nor gun violence.
Oh! But
then the lead character is all about using and condoning gun violence and smoking and making it look cool. He literally says the only reason we're still here is because of guns and violence.
Oh. Yeah, I think the censor board just have to put this one specially for this movie for gun violence.
Yeah.
Smoking is for every movie that shows smoking in India. I don't know if you noticed, but they put a little message at the bottom right of the screen when somebody's smoking, drinking, taking drugs that says smoking is harmful. They removed it for some international releases, but in India, and when you buy the Blu-ray, for example, or DVD, you get this message on the bottom right. I don't know if you got this one. When you see it in theater, it's always there as well.
Okay. Yeah, basically,
watch a bit Indian movies. Yeah.
I think it's ironic that these warnings only show up, like, there's only a notice saying this movie does not condone gun violence when it clearly does. Because if it doesn't, you don't need to put up the notice.
That might have been a tough one to get out of the Indian censor board, because they're really strict about stuff. You have to show good guys, you don't have to show nudity, don't show sex, all that stuff, and this movie has it all. So, they managed to get it pretty nicely, I'd say, for an Indian movie to get this out and make it a blockbuster.
Oh, wow. So I have a question. How common are these adult-only ratings in India? Like, this got, like, the A rating, I think you said. Is that very common in India, or is that just something that, like, happens only very rarely?
It's happening more and more. We're getting more of this, like Kill, and recently Baby John was adult-rated as well, because it's fucking violent as well. So, yeah, they're more common, I think. They used to be, like, PG-13, 12, rated 12, more for the blockbusters and stuff like that. But nowadays, it's more common to have adult rating and have it make money. Like, Animal did so much fucking money in India, so it's the Deadpool of India. So they're gonna make more adult rated movies, and that's good for us action movie lovers, because we like violence.
Yeah. And then they threaten us with a
in
sequel.
In movies, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, every Indian movie is just teased with sequel and bullshit sequels, extended universe, pissing me off so much whenever that happens. And Kill, on the other hand, won't have a sequel, I think.
Oh, really?
Because it's kind of obvious with the ending. Won't spoil it too much, but...
I did have one more question about Animal.
So
what I will say is that the actors are all giving their best, especially Ranbir Kapoor, who plays the lead character. He's actually quite good, even though the movie is absolute trash. But he gets a credit at the start of the film where he's credited as superstar. Like, that's above his name. What's that all about?
Yeah, that's common in India to have a star system culture that's way over the top. Like every Ringo Starr is called superstar, global star, mega star, everything.
Oh,
Like
so superstar is the
everyone.
lowest.
Superstar when you have done a little bit of stuff and then you get your first blockbuster. Megastar if you're like Chiranjeevi with the full ego mode, the guy from Tollywood who just call himself Megastar whenever his movie is star. And Superstar is the lowest one. And Global Star, if was the son of Chiranjeevi who starred in RR, so he got an Academy Award, so he's a global star now. And some are doing that. Some are not doing that, like Shah Rukh Khan is not doing that, Salman Khan are not doing that. It depends on the actor and the movie. And it's more common in masala movies to make this type of statement. And less common for actor who just have less ego, let's just say.
Okay. But so you have to earn the superstar credit, basically.
Or you can just put it anyways.
Okay.
Just for a new actor, like guy from Kill, who just is his first, I think, main role. I think he only did one movie before as a secondary character or third character. And this one is like his above the lat type of movie. Lakshya, his name is.
Yeah. Now, was this guy in a boy band before he became an actor? Because I think he looks
so.
Like it.
Yeah. Almost all new actors are just mannequins and just coming from boys band and stuff like that, from magazines and showing their muscles and just dancing, dancer, a lot of dancers as well. Just
that makes sense
dancers.
Though. Yeah.
And physical, you know, you could get physical for movies that are action made. They're liking more and more the action genre in India. Not that much before. It was a bit silly in 2000, silly movies with CGI and fake stuff. Nowadays it's more like physical, brutal violence.
I think it's sort of a shame that something that used to be so unique, like Bollywood is now following the Hollywood trend of John Wick-like action movies.
Of course. Yeah. There's some good and some bad. Of course, some movies are keeping their own identities. I think like RRR is full on patriotism and India Forever, Jai Hind, they said. Like Semper Fi, such an Indian version of Semper Fi, Jai Hind. And it's full on patriotism. Yeah, full on patriotism, anti-colonialism, all that stuff. It's like they're keeping their own identity through nationalism and making their movie more accessible to foreign audiences, you know. Because some stuff from the 2000s was just really, really, really bad. Even the 90s, the 80s, 90s, I haven't seen many movies from that time period, but some stuff was really, really bad. You see some clips on YouTube.
Yeah,
though I watched some trailers for some 80s, 90s stuff. And that shit just looks amazing. Like, some of it looks fantastic. Like, true 3-hour masala movies. Give me some of that.
Yeah, I know that bit. And they're releasing it on YouTube sometimes for free as well.
Oh.
In 4K, like, remastered to the perfection. Like. But they don't have subtitles, so you have to find it on streaming services. If they're on YouTube, they should be on streaming services as well. And with subtitles, maybe no subtitles. Or you just watch a movie without subtitles, like I used to do with Kunet Arkin's movie. I was watching them without subtitles just to make the kill count video for it.
Hey,
now, the plots are usually hard enough to follow with subtitles.
Yeah, it's harder with subtitles.
Oh. So, Kill, based on real life events, supposedly?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think there was a robbery on the train that ended up with some dead people. That's what I heard. And, I don't know much about the real event, but I think it's grossly over the top in the movie. It's a realistic action movie. Yeah, but I don't think like 40 plus people died on the train being slaughtered by one man.
Okay.
I think I read something like 3 died, 6 wounded, which is still quite a lot, really.
But.
Yeah. I think it was a special force guy. That's the only thing. He was a special force guy who just helped people escaping from a robbery because. Yeah, crime in India is really, really bad. It's almost as bad as in South America with the slums and all that stuff. It's kind of hidden in India, but they're showing it more and more in movies. And I think that's a good thing to show more of this dark side of India. Like,
yeah.
Some Indian movies have done that, and non-Indian, half-Indian, like Monkey Man, and Baby John as well, fucking brutal. Like Jawan was showing it a little bit as well, if you remember.
Yeah, so Kill, it does get off to a bit of a slow start, though. It begins with, like, some military personnel arriving at their base, But I was thinking, why didn't they just show like them fighting some gorillas or terrorists or whatever? That would be a good way to start.
They usually do that. They usually do that in Bollywood movies that have more budget and show the first scene with the guerrilla stuff. Like I saw so many movies just like that. But this one is low budget. I think it shows, like, low budget, but really well made, I think. And it's got international distribution for its quality, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I think the first scene that you're mentioning is a big homage to The Red. It literally starts in the truck with the special forces people having their machine guns in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Just the same shot as in The Red, so I think it's kind of a nice homage to the movie.
Yeah,
it is always a bad idea to, from the get-go, remind the audience of better movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I think they're pretty much even, I'd say, from my opinion. Like, I watched Red a few times, like 3-4 times, and I'd say Kill even gets some good stats. The Red has its flaws as well, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, the camera quality and all that stuff
is
a bit better in Kill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the choreography and the way they're fighting in the train, like, everything with wide angles and close-ups and everything just works so well in Kill. You can feel like you're in a big space, but it's a small space. And people are punching, slick trotting, knifing, everything, you know.
Yeah, Kill,
that's my opinion on this.
Okay, yeah, Kill has some good action scenes in it. But at first, I thought I was going to be in for some bad times. Because the first action scene, I couldn't really tell who was fighting who exactly. I was a little confused a little bit. But after that, it got on track, no pun intended, because it's a train movie. And it started being good. I was like, hey, this is actually kind of good. I zoned out a little bit towards the middle, but it got me back big time with some of the big action scenes towards the end. And it has some good action. It did, like you said, it is kind of reminds you of The Raid, Redemption, and Die Hard. It's kind of a fusion of those two films on a train. Maybe a little bit of Under Siege 2, Dark Territory, a little bit, you know, because it's
the train
thing.
Yeah, of course, the train
thing. Yeah. It's not as good as those movies, in my opinion, but, you know, it's still respectable entertainment.
Yeah.
It does lack a little bit of star power, in my opinion. Like, none of the actors really jump off the screen and say, look at me, I'm a big movie star. I mean, like, like the villain of the movie, he wears like a Bill Cosby sweater. I mean, it's like, this guy really isn't that intimidating. He's not really intimidating. Yeah. He's like this old guy.
Yeah, I think it's like some Indian movies are like that. They're just normal people doing normal stuff, or just normal special forces that look like a mannequin doing stuff. Yeah, so this guy is a bit young, you know, give him time to grow a little bit, grow a beard maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe he's going to be a bit tougher looking because he's already proved he can do the job on the action side. No, yeah. It's his first debut movie. I think it's really promising for a new actor to just debut like such a banger.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I also like to point out the fact that I did like the gory effect of the movie. There was a bit of a mix of CGI and practical stuff. I think they did it very well on a short budget. So many angles where they just knife people in the head, slit throating, hammer to the face, just showing the brains pretty now. Like, things like that. It was nice to see. In an Indian movie as well, of course. In the movie in general, action movies.
Yeah.
They tend to do the CGI bloodbath. There were some squibs, good CGI blood, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I noticed there was a squib from somebody who got shot by a bolt-action rifle. Like, do people still use bolt-action rifles in India, or is that, like, just, like, a little fabrication that they made because they wanted to shove a bolt-action rifle in the movie?
Yeah, I think it was the police.
Yeah.
Special forces and militaries from poorer countries are still using weapons for the 40s or World War II, even older weapons still in use in some militaries, in some police forces around the world. So I would not be surprised if in India they still have this type of rifles because it's less dangerous as well. If you have an automatic, someone steal you an automatic, you can just shoot up. If it's a bolt rifle, you can do less damage.
Oh, okay.
Kind of safety stuff. You know, I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
That perspective.
Yeah, it checks out. Yeah. I was missing Shah Rukh Khan a little bit, though, but I wish he would have appeared. But, you know, it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, you know, that type of movie with gratuitous cameos with somebody who just show up and just, you don't know who he is, but he's a superstar and superhero in his movie. That's happened in other movies, but no, this one I like because it's more like, straightforward. That's what I like about it, and that's why it's so unusual for him from India as well to have such a movie that just artsy in their perspective. You know, it's not artsy to make that would be like a straight-to-DVD action movie that could be released in the US or Europe, but in India it's unexpected to see such a movie, and well crafted, I think. As for DTV, if it was a DTV that came out from America, I think they're gonna remake it anyways.
Yeah, America, the John Wick guys got the remake rights, I think. The 8711 guys.
Yeah. Kind of hope it's gonna be good. But yeah, maybe it's gonna be better. I don't know. Bigger budget, bigger star. But if they do it well, yeah, it can lead to something akin to Under Siege 2, man.
Oh.
I hope.
Well, let's not get our hopes up too high.
yeah, of course.
No, but I am glad, Brendan, that you mentioned the bad guys, because Kill doesn't have... It has a lot of bad guys, but none of them are really good, memorable. Neither does Animal, by the way. Animal doesn't have a bad guy until 40 minutes till the end.
Yeah, I think Animal, the bad guy, was kind of good, like the mute guy. Yeah. Was a bit charismatic, I think. But for Kill as well, yeah, I agree with you, because they're normal robbers, you know, normal people used to banditry in India, that happens in real life as well. And you can see them as kind of a family. And I like this fact that these people are just monsters. Some of them, one guy which is a fucking monster, just kind of doing bad things that turns the main character into rage mode, kill mode. And yeah, they're just normal people doing banditry, not killing people, just beating them up, stealing their wallet, their phone, and stuff like that. It's not good to do that, of course. But yes, and you can see them as a family, with the leader being like a grandpa of everybody. He was a bit tough guy. I think he was a bit charismatic, a bit tough guy, beaten up by the women.
Yeah, he was the most interesting bad guy, but they kill him off like halfway through.
Yeah, but it was a good fight scene. It's the main character didn't get the kill. It was a woman whose child has been murdered by him. I think it was a bit gross and kind of nice to see fucking beating him up with the sticks and his brain just moving around. Really nasty stuff, you know. Yeah, this actually make me a bit wince, this one. Wince, I mean.
Yeah.
The ear stuff was a bit bad when he just hit him in the ear, but after that it's kind of off-screen, you don't see the aftermath. Yeah, the ear stuff has also made me comfortable as well.
Yeah.
When he's just putting the fire thing inside his head and just messed up his ear just fucking exploded.
So did this one get an A rating in India as well? I'm assuming it did.
No, it didn't.
Oh.
Of course it
did. Okay, I was going to say. I was like, what is happening here? Yeah.
Yeah. It would get a fucking, maybe NC-17 in the US, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it got in the United States. It may have gotten an R, maybe because it didn't show any, like, intestines falling out or anything like that. But, I mean, there still is a lot of blood here. Lots of people getting stabbed, like, in the eye and the neck and blood squirting all over the place. It's not as graphic as it could have been. I mean, they could have shown like people's intestines falling out or whatever, but they didn't go that far. But it's still a lot of blood and stuff like that, so it's a good time.
Yeah, good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that this was a really well-made movie, with the ending being I won't spoil the ending, but a kind of homage to Gladiator or Titanic, in a sense, if you can understand what's happening to the main character at the end. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's this good scene where, I don't want to get into spoilers. It's not really a spoiler, but he kills like a bunch of people, the main character, and he hangs their bodies all over one of the cars of the train. So when the bad guys enter, they're like, whoa, what the hell just happened here? They see all these like dead bodies of their comrades just like hanging from like the ceiling and stuff like that. That's a pretty chilling scene, I'd say.
Well, I think that's chilling, but what comes immediately after is unintentionally hilarious. When they're all just on the floor crying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that, because they show us, like, the bad guys are not just bad guys. They're just humans, and you can see them, you know, kind of acted poorly, you know, sometimes with the actor, but I think it's intentional, maybe, to show that they are normal people. It's not too much over the top. It's just, you know, the way Indian people are just reacting to stuff in real life as well. But, yeah. Yeah, they were showing the human side of the bad guys, and I think it was a bit nice to have this balance between the good guy being in rage mode, kill mode, and just slaughtering this family of bandits, just, and the bandits being sad and vengeful, and just being not so much of a bad guys, you know, but just being caught in the middle of this war between two psychopaths, one being a good psychopath and the other one being a full-on bad psychopath. Bad guy.
Now it's this sort of like when it tries to go for realistic where the movie loses me, where I think it actually becomes kind of bad. especially with the stuff where they, I think I've seen it in, I think The Night Comes for Us as well, where they're fighting and then they show their characters getting tired.
Oh,
that's so terrible. Like they're getting punched in the face a million times, but oh no, fighting for 5 minutes, that gets them tired.
Yeah, it's a bit inconsistent with how many beats up the main character has, but in the end, you understand that he was on an adrenaline rush, and when it ends, you kind of understand that he won't make it out alive because of how much he was beaten, but it left to interpretation. Let's say he might have survived, he might not have survived. Yeah, if you take into account that he's a special force who's trained and just able to just withstand everything that's thrown at him, kind of makes sense that he would be in such a rage run until he gets his revenge. I think it can happen. People have done stuff like that in real life.
My main issue with the film, though, is like it doesn't use its train setting.
Oh.
Like there's nothing about this movie where you feel like, oh yeah, this needs to have been on a train. This might as well have taken place in a building. Like if you look at good train action movies like Snowpiercer or Train to Busan, and even like The Raid, there's a very clear goal of they start at the ground floor and they need to move to the upper floor. And in Snowpiercer, they start at the back of the train, they need to go to the front of the train. And then every carriage they go through, there's another obstacle. But in this one, they're just like the good guys are in carriage one, the bad guys are in carriage two, and sometimes they fight in the little hallway between. If only they just gone like, oh, yeah, the little sister is kidnapped and they're holding her in the front of the train. You need to go get her. Like that would have been good. But instead, they're like, oh no, stay here, fight them, come back, fight them, come back. Like,
Yeah, I think I agree. They're going a bit all over the place, sees the train going back forward. You don't really know which cabin
you
know, get messed around. And I think it was maybe because of the budget, because they couldn't have like a super train, like classic trains. They just had a normal trains that go from one place to another. But what I like about the use of the setting of the train is the way they shot the action. I think that's where it shines the most. Like, and so little shots that remind me of Terminator 2. When they just show up, a little car, just you know, it close up, just running around, rolling around the floor. A bit not to turn that out, I think it was nice. Shot like that.
Yeah, but it was also weird. Like, all of a sudden, at some point, after they start the fire in the door opening, and there's like, oh, there was this whole section of train that we hadn't seen before where nothing is happening. Like, what? What?
Yeah. Yeah, the off-screen characters, I guess, you know, just trapped there.
Yeah, they close the shutters and now there's just two carriages where everything is happening. Okay.
Yeah, and I think one of the bad guy was hiding there and he ended up surviving. He's the only one who survives the movie, I think. Some fat guy with the sweater. Christmas sweater.
Yeah.
So there's a bodyguard character because the father of the main girl is a rich guy and they have a bodyguard or something with them. The guy with the red polo. I think he's named in the movie like after some sort of cricket player or something, but my subtitles called him Ronaldo.
Same for me.
Yeah, what was he called for you, Brandon?
I can't even remember.
I think he was the guy that just got killed first. He had to get his throat slit because he was trying to protect the girl and his father.
Yeah, and then the bad guy goes, oh, if I'd known he was Ronaldo, I wouldn't have killed him because I'm such a fan of Ronaldo. But like in Hindi, they're clearly not saying Ronaldo. They're saying something else.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, they changed it for Western audiences. But
okay, I gotcha.
But yeah, I don't know how big Ronaldo is in the US. So like, what was he called? I know.
He's a decent sized star in the United States as far as, you know, association football goes.
Yeah, okay.
Hi, New York. What's up, Times Square? It's me, Cristiano Ronaldo.
So, Kill. I'd say it's a pretty good movie. I do think it should have hit the ground running a bit harder. They should have, like, maybe if the budget would have allowed, they should have showed, like, the commandos at the beginning actually fighting someone rather than just returning to base and talking about how much they have to take a leak. But other than that, you know, it's got a lot of action in it, and I can't complain about that too much.
Yeah, it's got a lot of action, but I feel like it's one very repetitive action. It's also sort of like edgelord action. Oh, like, look at how violent we are. Ooh, look at this. I don't think it's doing a lot of interesting things with its location. All the fights are basically the same, sort of. None of them really make use of the fact that they're on a train. So, yeah, the fights are decent, but all the other stuff is sort of like wasted potential. So, for once, I'm like really curious about the remake, because I feel like the remake is going to start from the place of like, oh, this is the night comes for us, but on a train. What should we do with that?
Yeah, it's going to be US, so not sure if it's going to be as violent. I also fear they're going to make it funny, because this one is a bit serious. So
yeah.
They tend to make action movies too funny and just not caring about, you know, the emotions and stuff, and just killing people for fun. You know?
Wow.
So, but yeah, I'm interested as well. And I think the main flaw of this movie is a bit that it's a bit too long for a movie, even though it's a short movie by Indian standards. So maybe I would have cut like 20, 30 minutes and make it 130, 120. That'd be more bearable, maybe.
Oh, that would be cool.
Theaters, I didn't see the time pass. I saw it with my dad. He was a bit tricky. He was a bit shocked as well to see an Indian movie like that. So,
all right.
So it's kind of difficult to talk about like the emotional stuff in this movie without going into spoilers. But I also want to say that it didn't quite work for me, especially because the sort of twists about halfway through when we get the title card.
Yeah,
it sort of renders.
I like that. So.
It renders the first 10 minutes sort of like useless.
Well, not useless. Just, you know, it was like a psycho twist. You know, just you think that's gonna go one way and it's going another. I think it was justifying the way he was just on rage mode, on kill mode for the rest of the movie, working his revenge. And yeah, that's why I think you were saying, Brandon, that the first fight scene was a bit messy because, you know, you're kind of with them. You don't know what's happening. You're just fighting off bad guy. You don't know who's a good guy, who's a bad guy. So it's a bit messy. But once the guy understands that he needs to get rid of them for the safety of the people around him and his family, he just kind of just not messing around and being a special force guy. Just killing people left and right. I think the body count is not very high for a movie that killed like 40. I think the main character killed 30 people. Yeah, 30 people, like how many? So it's like 10 times less than Animal, which has like 400 deaths between.
Yeah, well, Animal is something else. That's something like way out of left field. But yeah.
Yeah, there was also like both of these movies have the title card drop really late.
Mm-hmm.
And for Kill, it's really this moment of, oh shit. Shit just got real.
Mm-hmm.
But then it sort of hits that high note of like, oh yeah, now he's going crazy. And then that happens for 5 minutes and then drops down again.
No. Yeah.
And I, like, if you're going to just tease shit going down so hard, just do it. Instead of like, oh, it's going to happen now. And oh, it's over. And then like that sort of moment happens like 3 times. In total in the movie, and every time it just goes down again, and we're like, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, of course, it's not, it's like, it's a bit overlong. That way, I think I would have said cut like 20, 30 minutes, maybe like the title card, the middle of the movie. Like, I think it's like, yeah, it's the middle of the movie, but make the ending a bit shorter, just go and kill more. But yeah, good time in theater with my dad. He likes action movies, so.
Yeah, this does feel like a good movie to watch with your dad.
Yeah.
He was a big shock, you know. It's too violent for him, you know. Not expected to see Indian movies like that. It's just like old school Indian movies, dancing, singing, romance scene, and just that and nothing else.
Yeah. This was refreshingly devoid of singing and songs and musical numbers. It's just action, and yeah, that's pretty good.
No, I wish they'd put a song and dance in there somewhere.
At the end, you know.
Yeah.
Like he's reuniting with the people that have died and just having a sing along in the end, credits rolling like Slumdog Millionaire's ending.
Yeah. Everybody's dead now. Yeah, I was kind of disappointed by Kill. I think my recommendation would be just wait for the remake, honestly, no matter how bad that sounds. But
yeah, I think it's a good time. You should have nothing to watch on Prime Video. You can just. Kill,
yeah,
the first kill.
Yeah, that's true. And just
a train ride with it.
Never ever bother watching Animal.
Yeah.
Delete all the files.
Unless you're a majestic psychopath. Yeah. Unless you're a majestic psychopath or you just want to watch a kill count, maybe. Yeah. You can watch a kill count.
Yeah, watch the kill count video for Animal. But my recommendation would be to skip that one. Watch the kill count video because the kills are pretty insane. But everything else, pretty bad.
Yeah. And hopefully next time when we do a Bollywood episode, we'll do some singing and dancing movies.
All right.
One in mind, maybe?
If I have one in mind? Well, not anything particular, but I did find one recently that was called like the Bollywood remake of Death Wish 4.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that sounds promising.
That sounds good. Yeah. So who knows?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. Is there anything else you guys want to add about these movies?
I'm good.
Yeah, I think we got full circle around that.
Well, all right. Hopefully we'll be back next week with something different. Until then, check out the website, alloutofbubblegum.com. You can check out Jaws' YouTube channel, where he posts kill counts, named Jaws Unleashed.
Yeah.
Join the Discord, check out the Patreon, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, see ya. And thanks for being on, Jaws.
See you around.
Thank you for sharing your expertise.
Thank you. I was very happy to come back, of course.
Yeah, all right. Very happy to nice to have you.
Can't wait for the next one.
All right. Bye.
All right. See you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
There were female critics who said to me that they felt really uncomfortable during the press screening because the men clapped when Kabir slaps Preeti. Why do you say it's pseudo?
I feel it's pseudo because, you know, when you are deeply in love, when you are deeply connected with a woman, or vice versa, I mean, there's a lot of honesty in it. And if you don't have that physical demonstration of, if you don't have the liberty of slapping each other, then I don't see anything there. So I feel this woman, whoever talking about this, I feel that they were never in love. Probably they were never experienced it in the right way.
Dude, what the...